From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. President Jokowi confirms not to rule for the third period. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy launches Go Mandalika e-Tourism. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo reconfirmed that he did not intend to become a president for three periods, as the 1945 Constitution has ruled presidency for only two periods. He made this statement at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Monday. He also warned all parties not to make new chaos because Indonesia is focusing on handling the COVID-19 pandemic. Dubbing insert Jokowi. Do not make new chaos. We are now focusing on handling pandemic. I confirm that I have neither intention nor interest to become a president for three periods. The Constitution has ruled for two-period presidency. That's what we should keep together. Meanwhile, the presidential spokesperson Fajrul Rahman also said President Jokowi keeps faithful and strongly upholds the state ideology Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution, continuing the struggle in his administration until 2024. Central Lombok Regency launched GoMandalika.com e-tourism on Monday to ease tourists to get information on the area. As quoted in a press release received by Voice of Indonesia on Monday, Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy and Head of Tourism and Creative Economy Agency, Sandiaga Uno, said in the virtual launching, he really appreciated Central Lombok Regency government for realizing information technology implementation. Sandiaga Uno hoped this platform could become a digital collaboration house for tourism stakeholders in Central Lombok. On the occasion, Central Lombok region, Lalu Patul Bahri, thanked the minister for the attention and appreciation. It is expected to boost the spirit of people to develop the area, particularly in tourism. Indonesia's COVID-19 vaccination program will be greatly challenged by the arrival of 75% of fresh vaccine doses between July and December this year, the health minister has said. Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin told legislators in Jakarta on Monday, the government will have no option but to push the program to its maximum capacity during that period. There is a need to increase the vaccination capacity, the minister said during a hearing with members of the House of Representatives Commission 9, which oversees healthcare and manpower. At least 5.4 million Indonesians have so far received vaccine doses since January 13, 2021, when the government officially launched the National Vaccination Program. The Health Ministry has set a target of inoculating 1 million people per day, or 25 million people a month, for May and June this year. Now we move to the international news. Former Afghan President Hamid Karzai has strongly condemned the Monday bomb blast in Kabul that targeted several bases, including one that was carrying staffers of the Ministry of Communications and Information Technology. Karzai called the attacks a failed attempt by the enemies of Afghanistan's stability to undermine peace efforts. According to the former president, one female staffer of the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology was killed as a result of the bomb blast, as well as another female worker from the Ministry of Information and Culture. Earlier on Monday, local police said that over a dozen people were injured in the Monday explosions in the Afghan capital of Kabul. The three bomb blasts all targeted buses in different parts of the city. A total of at least three people were killed, according to Afghan media reports. French Foreign Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian said on Monday that this year's presidential election in Syria would be neither free nor legitimate. The Arab country is scheduled to hold a presidential election in 2021 per its constitution. In October, President Bashar Assad told Sputnik about making a decision on whether or not to run at the start of the year. Meanwhile, Western countries have said on multiple occasions that they will not recognize the election if it does not follow United Nations Security Council Resolution 2254, which states that the UNSC supports free and fair elections pursuant to the new constitution and held under UN supervision. Le Drian said in a statement that France, with its European Union partners, will continue to make the reconstruction of Syria and the normalization of relations with Damascus conditional on the implementation of a credible, lasting political solution in accordance with United Nations Security Council Resolution 2254. The presidential election scheduled in Syria this year will be neither free nor legitimate. It cannot be used as a tool to circumvent this political solution. The Syrian civil war has been going on since 2011, with President Assad's forces fighting against different insurgent groups. The World Health Organization has urged countries not to pause COVID vaccinations, as several major European Union member states halted their rollouts of the Oxford-AstraZeneca jab. It said there was no evidence of a link between the vaccine and blood clots. Germany, France, Italy, and Spain joined smaller nations in halting vaccinations as a precaution while checks are made. The World Health Organization's vaccine safety experts are meeting on Tuesday to discuss the jab. The European Medicines Agency will meet on the same day and is due to draw conclusions on Thursday. It has also said the vaccine should continue to be used. There have been a number of cases in Europe of blood clots developing after the vaccine was administered. However, experts say these were no more than the number of blood clot incidents typically reported within the general population. According to AstraZeneca, about 17 million people in the European Union and the United Kingdom has received a dose of the vaccine, with fewer than 40 cases of blood clots reported as of last week. We end the news with Myanmar's military that has imposed martial law across more districts around the country following the deadliest day of protests since February coup. About 50 people were reported killed when troops and police opened fire on protesters in various areas on Sunday. Most deaths were in Yangon. Protesters are demanding the release of ousted civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi. She heads the National League for Democracy, which saw a landslide victory in elections last November. Suu Kyi has been held at an unknown location since the February 1st coup. She is due to face a slew of charges her supporters say are fabricated. On Monday, she was due to appear in court, but the virtual hearing was adjourned due to internet problems. The military initially declared martial law in two districts of Yangon, the country's largest city, on Sunday after Chinese businesses were attacked. Martial law was imposed in several other areas of Yangon and Mandalay on Monday. Protesters there can now be tried in military courts. Protesters believe China is giving support to the military in Myanmar, but it is unclear who was behind the weekend attacks. Well, listener, that was the news from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
presidential elections in Indonesia will be held in 2024. President Joko Widodo's second term is just entering his second year. However, in Indonesian society, there is already a discourse on extending the term of office of the president 2-3 times. The term of office of the Indonesian president has been regulated in the 1945 Constitution. Quoted from the official website dpr.go.id, Article 7 of the 1945 Constitution, which has been amended once, contains president and vice president hold office for 5 years, and thereafter they can be re-elected to the same office only for 1 term of office. Even though the rules are clear, there are still parties who highlight this discourse. The discourse on extending the term of office is highlighted not only these days, but also during the reign of the 6th president of Indonesia, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. However, the mandate of the 1945 Constitution is certainly stronger. At the end of December 2019, this discourse was also raised, but President Joko Widodo firmly rejected it. In his Twitter account on December 2, 2019, President Joko Widodo said that he is a product of direct elections based on the post-reform 1945 Constitution. He exclaimed that his position is clear and disagree with the proposed 3-term presidential position. That proposal may make him troubled. But it is unfortunate, even though Joko Widodo's attitude is clear, there are still parties who try to re-highlight the discourse to the public, and it has become a public discussion. Perhaps this is what led President Joko Widodo to reiterate his stance on his term of office. In the official website of the Cabinet Secretariat of the Republic of Indonesia, President Joko Widodo emphasized that he had no intention of becoming a 3-term president. The 1945 Constitution has regulated the term of office of the president for 2 terms, which must be obeyed at all. President Joko Widodo has explicitly stated his decision. The stance must be appreciated well and fully supported. This is expected to stop certain parties who are ambitious to extend the term of power. This stance will certainly provide peace to the Indonesian people. Hopefully, there is no more discourse about a 3-term presidential position that can trigger pros and cons among the Indonesian people. Because the mandate of the 1945 Constitution is clear, President Joko Widodo's stance is beyond doubt. There are more important things that must be done to overcome all the impacts caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. All elements of the nation must jointly cooperate according to their individual capacity to overcome the COVID-19 and economic recovery towards a developed Indonesia. That's commentary. Today in history. I'll begin with March 16, 1968, massacre in South Vietnam by the United States Army. On March 16, 1968, United States soldiers massacred unarmed civilians in Son Mai Village, South Vietnam. It is estimated that between 300 and 500 villagers, including women and children, died in the massacre. The strategic event is remembered as the My Lai Massacre. Turning to March 16, 1978, the supertanker Amoco Cadiz runs aground. On March 16, 1978, the Liberian oil tanker Amoco Cadiz ran aground near the small port of Portsel, the coast of Brittany, France. The ship was carrying 227,000 metric tons of crude oil on a route from the Persian Gulf to Rotterdam. Within 2 weeks, the entire cargo spilled overboard and polluted some 360 kilometers from the coastline of Brest to Saint-Brieuc. This is the worst oil tanker accident in history. I'll end today in history with the event in 1988 when thousands of Halabja residents in northern Iraq were killed by poison gas attacks. Halabja is a city in Iraq located about 240 kilometers from Baghdad, the capital of Iraq, and about 14 kilometers from the Iranian border. Halabja is an important location for the Kurdistan Liberation Movement. On March 16, 1988, during the Iran-Iraq War, Saddam Hussein's troops ordered a poison gas attack on the city. This attack killed 5,000 Kurds and injured about 10,000. And listener, that was Today in History.
Bukan maksudku, katakan ku tak cinta isi hati. Hanyalah sayang perasaanku, tak lebih dan tak kurang menganggapmu sahabat terindah. Rasa cinta di hati sayang takkan bisa kupaksa dia di sana. Terbina, jangan ternoda oleh cinta. Bukan maksudku lukai hatimu, katakan ku tak cinta. Tapi gimana, aku pun tak mengerti mengapa rasa
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Consul General of the Republic of Indonesia, Frankfurt, Acep Sumantri, and Mayor of Gingen, Germany, Dieter Hanel, held a meeting March 8 to discuss cooperation of waste management and renewable energy. During the meeting, the Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia in Frankfurt and the government of Gingen City in Germany agreed to increase cooperation, especially in the environmental sector, related to waste management and renewable energy. As quoted on the kamlu.go.id page March 11th, The development of the waste management collaboration was also discussed in depth with Thorsten Becker and Michael Sennatinger, representatives of Carbonaten GmbH, a startup company located in the Gingen city. Natural wastes such as timber, coconut shells, and bamboo can be processed by carbonization methods, resulting in bio-oil, renewable energy, and biocarbon products that are proven to be able to maintain and increase the fertility of agricultural soils and forests. These methods and products are one of the solutions for handling environmental issues because they are proven to support the sustainability of ecosystems and are positive for the development of renewable energy. Gingen City is one of the industrial centers in the state of Baden-Württemberg, which houses international companies such as the electronics company Bosch and the automatic and digital company Siemens. The Consulate General in Frankfurt continues to encourage cooperation in various sectors with state and city governments, as well as with various leading companies in the working area to support collaboration with potential partners in Indonesia. And that's my Indonesia for today.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo防ぎましょう. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawintiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zheng que pei tai kou zhao. 以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播，我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragen van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Bukan salahmu bila diriku tak tahu bagaimana caranya mencintai. Bukannya aku tak cinta kamu, tak menyayangimu dengan sepenuh.Hatiku, oh cintaku, biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkanku bijaksana dalam memaknai dan memahami. Oh bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa akuBisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Ini salahku, kekuranganku yang mencintaimu dengan cara yang berbeda. Dapatkah kamu ajarkan ku bijaksana dalam memadai dan memahami. Oh, bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Duhai sayangku, tiada cinta seindah cinta, cinta yang tulus, yang mengajarkan bijaksana dalam memahami arti hidup ini. Oh, biarkanlah cinta tumbuh dengan sendirinya dan mengajarkan ku bijaksana dan memahami. Oh, bersabarlah hingga tiba di suatu masa aku bisa jadi yang terbaik dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu, dalam hidupmu. Semoga kamu memaafkanku, menerima segala kekuranganku. Semoga Tuhan memberi waktu bagiku untuk membalas kasih sayangmu.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, this is Rahma. I'm going to introduce you to a traditional food of South Sulawesi, namely kapurung. When traveling to South Sulawesi province, try to enjoy a variety of its culinary specialties. One of them is kapurung. Kapurung is actually a typical food of the Palopo people in Lawu Regency, South Sulawesi. Kapurung is made from sago extract or starch. This sago flour is then cooked and forms into balls. In addition to being made from sago, kapurung is also made from various kinds of vegetables, such as spinach, long beans, kangkung or water spinach, banana flour, young red pumpkin leaves, and young corn slices. All of the vegetables are then added with other ingredients such as fried anchovies, fried peanuts, and cooked milk fish or skipjack fish, which are given yellow seasoning and then cooked. This culinary presentation is quite easy. Just mix the sago, which is in the form of balls, with the vegetables that have been mixed with the fish. You can add tomato chili sauce or crackers as complements. Kapurung tastes better when enjoyed while it's hot with lime or lemon squeeze. Peanut sauce that is rich in spices with spicy and sour taste will make your throat taste better. Kapurung, which is made from sago, is very easy to digest, chewy and filling, so it is good for digestion. Listener, besides delicious, kapurung, also known as pugalu, has a high nutritional content. Because of the large number of vegetables in the composition of this typical Palopo food. Moreover, the high protein content is found in milkfish and anchovies. Although kapurung is Palopo specialty, because of its deliciousness and high nutritional content, it is also well known throughout South Sulawesi. you can find many restaurants in South Sulawesi selling this delicious cuisine. The price is relatively cheap, namely 15,000 rupiah to 20,000 rupiah per serving. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, our voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai o fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forcom, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Pergi dengan
aku merasakan sakitnya dikhianati. Tak ada yang lebih perih dari ini. Oh, 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 oh.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia, or the Indonesian language, that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is alamat rumah, or in English, home address. Next, I will give a sample conversation on alamat rumah. Alamat rumah, which means home address. The conversation takes place between Kevin and his new neighbor, Boris. They are of the same age. Boris wants to know the address of the neighborhood head or Pak or Mr. Artis house. Let's listen to their conversation.
Di mana alamat rumah Pak RT?
Di Jalan Teratai Biru nomor 2. Mau ke sana?
Iya, besok.
Listening to the conversation, I will provide phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely alamat rumah, which means home address. I will say the words 2 times, and you may repeat after me. Di mana, which means where. Alamat, alamat, which means address. Rumah Pak RT. Rumah Pak RT, which means Pak or Mr. Artis house. Di mana alamat rumah Pak RT? Di mana alamat rumah Pak RT? Which means what is Pak or Mr. Artis home address? Di Jalan Teratai Biru. Di Jalan Teratai Biru, which means on Teratai Biru Street. Nomor 2. Nomor 2, which means number 2. di Jalan Teratai Biru nomor 2. Di Jalan Teratai Biru nomor 2. Which means at Teratai Biru Street number 2. In the conversation, you heard di mana alamat rumah Pak RT? Di mana alamat rumah Pak RT? Which means, what is the address of Mr. RT's house? In that question, there is a question word di mana? Di mana? Which literally means where. Unlike in English, to ask about somebody's address in Indonesian, the question word used is di mana, which means where, and not what. The question word di mana, is used to ask about a place or address. For example, di mana alamat rumah Pak RT, which in English would be what is Pak or Mr. RT's home address. The question word di mana can be put at the end of the question. For example, di mana alamat rumah Pak RT? Di mana alamat rumah Pak RT? Which means, what is Pak or Mr. RT's home address? You can also say it in another way, alamat rumah Pak RT di mana? Alamat rumah Pak RT di mana? Which also means, what is Pak or Mr. RT's home address? You can answer it, for example, with di Jalan Teratai Biru nomor 2. Di Jalan Teratai Biru nomor 2, which means at Teratai Biru Street number 2. Musik. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the sample conversation one more time.
Di mana alamat rumah Pak RT?
Di Jalan Teratai Biru nomor 2. Mau ke sana?
Iya, besok.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Benarkah rasa
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, this is Rahma. I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Sebuket Rama by Ferdi Maulana. Created by Edi Mawardi, the song Sebuket Rama is a Malay song from the area of Mempawah, West Kalimantan. This song was sung by Sri Rejeki. This song tells about the journey of a person who is visiting the king's grave in Mempawah, which is the tomb of Opu Daeng Manambon. The lyrics also tell that the area of Mempawah has a beautiful view with cool and comfortable air. The music of this song itself is slow in tempo. Well, listener, here is Sebuket Rama by Sri Rejeki. Happy listening!
Oh,
Voice of Indonesia.
Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Menunggu semua yang masih belum pasti, menahan rindu yang makin gak terkendali. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Menjauh pergi tetap ada kamu lagi. Pejamkan mata yang terlihat kamu lagi. Belum tahu harus gimana caranya menghindarimu. Mau tahu apa yang ada di mimpimu? Sudahkah terisi cerita yang kamu tunggu? Jika kamu ingin aku di sana, aku mau. Mau tahu apa yang menarik hatimu, yang bisa menghadirkan cinta dalam tidurmu? Jika belum ada yang mengisinya, aku mau. Aku cinta.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.